If you're all listening, you must know that this is Radio Entrepreneurs, where we tell the story of entrepreneurship through interviews to very interesting guests. I'm Peter Meyerson, and I'm sitting in for Jeffrey Davis, the inimitable Jeffrey Davis, who's off somewhere having a good time. And I am being helped today in the studio by my producers, Chris Jarrell and Nathan Gobes, who will take care of any mistakes I make. And we have a great a guest to start this session with, Dan Davis, who's the director of Life Sciences and Technology at Clifton Larson Allen. Did I say that all right?
You did.
Oh, good.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
It's a pleasure, Dan. So tell us what the director of Life Sciences and Technology at Clifton, maybe tell us what Clifton Larson Allen is.
Sure. Clifton Larson Allen, we joke, is the biggest firm you've never heard of. We're actually the eighth largest CPA firm in the country. And they noticed a trend early, which is there's an opportunity in helping companies do accounting as opposed to just doing audit and tax. And so I was part of a firm called Accounting Management Solutions that they acquired 3.5 years ago to build that practice in the Boston area. And so I run a group where we go into companies to help them with accounting challenges or finance challenges. And it's been a great experience. They've built the group out nationally. They have terrific resources across the country. I'm very fortunate because I'm in Boston, so I get to work in technology and life sciences and see change coming in the world and enjoy all that.
Yeah, well, that sounds like sort of the way I used to practice law when I was practicing law, which is, you know, it deals with all of my craziness of not wanting to do the same thing 2 days in a row. So tell me what the difference is between what you do. I know you tried, but I'm not sure I understand what you do and what a standard CPA firm does.
Sure. So a standard CPA firm, if they're doing an audit of a company, which is a traditional relationship,
right,
has to maintain independence. So they're not allowed to do the books of a company and then audit their own work for obvious reasons. So what we do is, I run the group. I'm rarely the person who's in doing the work. I do some, my background is that I was the CFO of both technology and life science companies. So my job is primarily to place our team. We have consultants who go to a company to be the controller or the CFO and to do the work inside the company, which then gets audited by a standard CPA firm.
Okay, so do you check the audit work of the standard CPA firm?
We're doing all the preparatory work that they come and then do the audit and say, yes, this firm is doing their work correctly. These numbers are good. Investors and management can rely on the work that's being done inside this company.
So you're setting up the audit.
That's right. Doing all the management reporting. Every month, we're doing reporting to management and the board saying, this is the state of your company.
It's interesting. Okay, so then I would understand why I never heard of your firm.
Right. So I mean, generally,
you're kind of invisible in a way.
Yes, we want to be. We don't want people to know we exist.
That's interesting. Yeah, okay. It's a really interesting space to be in. I mean, I used to do a fair amount of public company work, so I understand exactly what you're talking about. And so you're in there figuring out how to present material to the management and presenting the information to the auditors.
That's exactly right. And so we're typically hired, you know, if a firm loses their controller, in this market, it is so hard to find good accountants that they need someone to come in and do interim work for 3 months. So our job is to be there and to make the CFO look good so that all the trains keep running on time. Or if a firm loses their CFO, that we'll be there and management, the board, continues to get really good information during that period that they're trying to find someone. Similarly, they might be doing a really big project and the team might be too stretched. So they need us to come in and help bridge them while they get through that bolus of work. And then when it's done, we step out. But what we've done is make the team inside the company look good, which is so no one needs to know we were there.
I like your approach. It's really kind of cool. So are you an accountant? Are you a CPA?
So I joke that I'm the black sheep of CLA because I am the one non-accountant. I was a finance guy and got a CFO role by dumb luck. And it went well. I raised the company's Series D funding round and then took them public. And we were the first biotech IPO in several years. So it's called reopening the window. You started to make it okay for biotechs to go public again at that time. Now a lot of biotechs are going public. But then we were the first one in several years. And so people thought, oh, he must be a talented CFO. And then I got hired by some other companies to be CFO. So the nice thing about this role is that I walk into a technology or a life science firm and I can say to the CFO, I feel your pain.
It's interesting. So what are the challenges? I mean, this seems like an easy sell to a company that's either, you know, just pre-IPO, you know, having done, you know, its, you know, D or G round of financing and thinking about whether they want to go public or a public company. I mean, so what are your challenges other than finding the right company? People? I mean,
yes, so there's two really big challenges in the Boston market. One, finding and keeping good people is really hard right now. Everything that Janet Yellen wanted in wage inflation is happening for accounting professionals in Massachusetts right now. There just aren't enough. And
we're
part
of it.
We're
not going to talk politics.
Right. Sorry.
Show. I used to talk politics on the show and everybody yelled at me.
I thought both sides want some wage inflation. So I thought that was fairly innocuous. But because so many biotechs have gone public, a venture-backed company requires one senior accountant and a bookkeeper. A public company requires four or five senior people. And given how many companies have gone public in the last 4 years, there just isn't enough senior accounting talent in Massachusetts. So it's been very hard for us to find and retain really good consultants. Similarly, there are a lot or several really good firms who do what we do. And so it's competitive. There is no green field. We have to compete to win and show a very good value proposition and show that our people have the talent and background to convince firms to hire us versus going with a different accounting firm or a different consulting firm.
It's interesting. So tell us a little bit about your original background. I mean, I know that, you know, you're going back however many years being a you know, you're an entrepreneur yourself, and obviously yep. You're CFO of some companies that, you know, were in the technology space. What did you do before that? Were you just in high school or college? Or, I mean,
so
how did you get here is the question.
No, thank you. I have an MBA in finance, and interestingly, I was a real estate guy, and I was fortunate because I was hired into a fund out of business school where the money was in Los Angeles and the investor is a billionaire and he was starting a new private equity fund where he identified for-profit education as a coming trend. And so he asked me to be one of the original associates at the new private equity fund that he was forming. So I went out there and I ended up in charge of kids products and services, and we bought Leapfrog Toys, which ultimately became a huge home run. So we paid $27 million for the firm, and their peak market cap was $1.6 billion. I don't get credit for taking it from $27 million to $1.6 billion, but I do get credit for identifying that this firm had potential. So after 3 years in Los Angeles, we decided that we wanted to move back. We just weren't LA people. And
that takes something special.
Well, it's funny. If they'd moved me to San Francisco, I'm not sure we'd be back in Boston, but I'm from here originally. So, and my wife likes Boston, so we wanted to come back. And I was interviewing with private equity firms, and one of them said, "We don't have anything for you, but we have a biotech that needs a CFO. They need a strategic thinker. We actually think you'd be really good for it." And I said, "Well, you know, I'm not a CPA." And they said, "They have a good controller. They just need someone who can lead the finance team." I said, "That I think I can do." And when that went well, it opened the door for me to do it for other companies. The thing that I did that's unusual is that I switched back and forth between technology and life sciences. Not a lot of people did that. I'm lucky because the way that you start and grow those companies is similar. You start and you're losing money for a long time. You're not selling a widget right away, like most companies do. And so I argued I'm well suited to do either side. And by the way, I speak your language. I understand how a biotech works. I understand how a technology company works.
That's an interesting story. So if somebody wanted to reach you, Dan, how would they do that? Give us as much contact information as you can.
So my email address, it's the good thing about being Dan Davis is I don't spell my name very often.
Yeah, I didn't ask you how to pronounce it.
So it's Daniel. The only people who call me Daniel are my mother and my wife when they're mad at me, but they did make me use Daniel for my email. Daniel.Davis@CLAConnect. It's one word, CLAConnect.com.
Great. And the website for CLA is what?
CLAConnect.com.
Okay, great. And I assume there's a lot of information on there if people want to look you up.
Tons.
Okay, great. Been great having you on. Very interesting interview. This is Peter Meyerson, and we'll be back after the next break with another wonderful guest.